We're in 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 16, seeing how Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Again, here's a prophet acting in a very crazy manner, and here's a dumb beast telling him so and rebuking him for it. Ever had to be rebuked for madness? I know I've done some things where I think back, man, that was crazy, that was wrong, that was bad. And God would send things my way to turn me from it and get me moving in the right direction again. But Balaam, of course, Balaam did not heed God's warnings, and he went on in his sin until it brought upon himself swift destruction, as Peter was saying earlier in this chapter. Now, God opened an animal's mouth so it could speak, and we want to, again, see how God opens our mouth so that we may speak. Now, when we speak, something's opening our mouth, and it's not always the right thing or the good thing. You've got to be very careful what you say, and why you say it, and how you say it, and what's behind it, and make sure it's of God. Well, the thing that God uses to open the mouths of his own people, there's a number of them. We saw already how when he forgives our sins, that opens our mouths. And when he saves us, that opens our mouths. And when he delivers us and blesses us, that opens our mouths. And the way it opens our mouths is he gives us a God-given desire to praise and glorify him. And we do that in our lives, by our words and song and various things. Those are the things we've looked at so far. Now we say God gives us this. How does he give his people these things? Why are Christians different? Why do they have something that compels them to praise God and to glorify God and to worship God and to thank God instead of blaspheming God and cursing God and calling, you know, God wrong at times and being full of murmuring and things of that nature, complaints. What is the difference? God's Spirit is the one who opens the mouths of God's people. That's what makes the difference. When we're forgiven and saved, God puts His Spirit in our hearts. And His Spirit changes us. He transforms us. He regenerates us. He quickens us. He sanctifies us. He puts all these new principles and motives and desires within us, holy ones, to do what God would have us to do, where before we were ruled by sin and Satan, and we were doing just the opposite. So this is the great change that salvation brings. It's conversion. When we're in Christ, we are new creatures. Old things pass away. All things become new, and it's by God's Spirit. If you read, well, just to give you an example, Galatians 5. Before we're saved, the Bible says we are flesh. And that's not just talking about we are physical beings with a body. It means we are fallen beings without the grace of God. We're depraved. And what do you find in your life before you're saved? Unholy principles and motives and behaviors. He says in verse 19 of Galatians 5, well, I can read 17 too. Or 16. Get the whole context. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or do what your flesh prompts you to do. Is that easy? No, it's a real struggle. There's a conflict. See, before you're saved, all you have is sin. The devil has complete power, and you just do his bidding. After you're saved, the sin's power is broken. If you're set free from the devil, you have the Holy Spirit to lead you in God's ways. But there's still sin within you, and that sin struggles and fights against what God has given you, the new grace that He's put in your heart. And he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. They're totally opposite. Sometimes people feel like they're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You know, like they're a split personality. And they think, why do I have both of these things going on in me at the same time? And it confuses them. Well, because of the flesh working in us still, it hinders us from doing, it says, so you cannot do the things that you would. Well, what do we want to do? We want to do God's will. We want to please Him. We want to obey Him. And yet, the flesh hinders that. But He says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the work, here's what the flesh produces. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. They're very clear. You can identify them easily. They can be seen with no problem. You know these things are not God's Spirit. Well, what are the works of the flesh? They are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. And that's not all. So, and such like. More things of that nature. All these things are coming forth of our flesh, our fallen nature. The sin that came. And what is the result of these things? You know, God's going to judge every man according to his works, right? All right, here are the works of the flesh. Anyone who practices the works of the flesh, what is his judgment going to be? Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, doing such things means these are their practice. This is how they live. This is what makes up their lives. People like that are not saved. They're under the power of sin. They're in the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what does the Holy Spirit produce in us? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. Well, how can I live like that? I sold my flesh. Well, it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. When you believed on Christ, your old man was crucified with Him. Your flesh was put on that cross and received its death blow. It no longer rules in your life. And so the flesh is crucified with its affections and lust. And so if we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Don't be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, you see that list, and two lists, and you see how different they are. How do you think our speaking would be different if we're in the flesh or if we're in the Spirit? Would it be a difference? Oh, I guess so. If I'm speaking out of hatred and wrath and all the rest, what am I going to speak like? Like a devil incarnate. I'm going to speak hateful, hurtful words. If I'm speaking out of peace and meekness and love, what are my words going to be like? They're going to be kind and gentle and uplifting and beneficial and edifying. What a difference. And so, what is opening our mouth? As unsaved people, there's only one thing that counts. They're under the power of sin. As Christians, we can either be opening our mouth at the prompting of our flesh, which is going to produce evil speech, hurtful speech, or by the Spirit, which is going to produce holy and helpful speech. So we have to be very careful. It's God's Spirit who opens the mouths of God's own people. In John 15, at the end of the chapter, here's a promise that Jesus made to his disciples. When the Comforter is come, that's the Holy Spirit. Comforter means He comes to our aid at our call to help us. He comes alongside to give us His assistance. Do we need His help? All the time. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. Well, there's one way we'll know we're speaking from God's Spirit. We'll speak the truth. No lies. Because He is truth and is no lie, it says. And it's the devil who's the father of lies. And so He says, the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. When the Holy Spirit comes, He'll tell you about me and the things concerning me. That's His ministry. He reveals Christ to us and the things of Christ to us. But He also says, and you also shall bear witness. You who have the Holy Spirit, He's going to teach you so that you in turn can tell others about Jesus. Because you have been with me from the beginning. You also shall. So God opens our mouth how? To witness to Christ. That's what God's Spirit gives us. Matter of fact, you just come over a little bit. Acts chapter 1, the next book, verse 8. Telling the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the power of God's Spirit to do the work that Christ had called them to do. And He says in verse 8, you shall receive power. Now the strength and ability after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You receive the power after the Holy Ghost grants it to you. And you shall be witnesses unto. Isn't that interesting? And then you can decide whether to be witnesses or not. What do you say? When the Holy Spirit comes on you, you shall be witnesses. He'll make you witnesses. He'll put in you the words, and He will cause you, lead you. Remember, as many of you are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. He'll lead you to witness for Christ. He'll show the things of Christ that you can, in turn, bring those to others. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. I have trouble witnessing. Pray for God's Spirit, for His power. And He will enable you to do that. I wanted to bring out from Job again how that was the case with Elihu. You know, Elihu was a young man like any other young man. Most young men are just caught up with chasing after, you know, relationships or money or pleasures, you know, getting what they can from the world. Why should this young man be different? Because he had the Spirit of God. And those things were no longer important to him. He wanted to know what God had for him. So you come down, you know, in Job 32, verse 6, he says, Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and you are very old. Wherefore I was afraid and dare not show my opinion. And he thought, you know, I said, days should speak and multitude of years should teach wisdom. So I deferred to my elders. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. God's Spirit has given me the ability to speak to this situation. So in verse 17 he says, I said, I will answer also my part. I will also show my opinion. Why? For I am full of matter. Well, who gave you this matter that you can't hold in anymore, that you have to speak out? The Spirit within me constrains me. Like He's driving me and compelling me to do this. Behold, my belly is as wine, which has no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak, that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. So you come down to chapter 33, and what's he say? Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches and hearken to all my words. And you read these next few chapters where he talks, you say, wow, where did this guy get all this? How can he know these things? I mean, he really has a breadth of understanding, and he sees things for what they are, and he can lay them all out so clearly. I speak so well. How did he do that? He couldn't do that. It's God's Spirit, as he just said Colbert. He says, listen to me. Behold now, I've opened my mouth. My tongue has spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart. So he had a right heart, which is where the words proceed from. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So since he's a new creature in Christ and he's been changed, he can speak right words. He can have right understanding so that he can say things as they really are. And he says, my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. How can you do this? The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. The Spirit of God has brought me to the place where I can know these things and tell them to you. And that's what we need, God's Spirit. We live in very evil days. In Micah chapter 3, how can you speak to all the sin that's going on around us? How can you have any impact or say anything? You know, it seems so bad, and nobody wants to hear what we have to say, and it's so difficult to stem the tide and to come against it as believers. Well, here's what Micah said. But truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. All right? He has the power of God on him. How, to do what? And also of judgment. Right? God's Spirit has given me the ability to see things as they really are. That's where it all begins, judgment. A lot of people look at things and they see them all wrong. They call good evil, evil good. They pervert their understanding to where they are not judging properly. You know, like Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. See things in the true light of God and as they really are, so you can make decisions based on facts, not on your own misunderstandings. And then he had might, judgment and power to do something, to exercise that judgment. To do what? To declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. I'm full of power to tell people what you're doing is wrong. You need to repent. That's not easy to do. People don't appreciate it. You know, it says in another place, they hate those who refuse from the gate. They hate it for it. And it's hard to come against people's hatred and opposition unless we have a greater power to overcome. And that's what the power of God is. What did Jesus say? You know, I'm going to send you the Comforter, and he will convict the world of sin. That's the first thing he does. And he tells us to lift up our voice like a trumpet to declare unto Jacob his iniquity and to Israel his sin. We need to be able to say, no, God says it's wrong. Don't do it, or you'll have to suffer the consequences. So that's one way we speak. He opens our mouth to speak against the evils around us, or even to care. Most people don't care. They become complacent and apathetic and indifferent. Oh, let people live their lives, do what they want. Who am I to tell them otherwise? You know, I don't want them to think I'm putting my nose where it doesn't belong. I'm meddling, you know. And if I do try to say anything, they're just going to get mad and take it out on me. You need power to be able to overcome those inhibitions, which we all have because of our flesh. You know, we're afraid to speak, but God gives us boldness, which means free and uninhibited speech, courage to speak for him. In Ephesians 5, here's another thing that God gives us. The ability to build each other up in our faith and help each other in our walk with Christ. Ephesians 5:18, it says, I'll read verse 17. Don't be unwise, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's the first thing. You need to understand what God's will is. And he gives us that understanding by his Spirit. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Ever know anyone that was drunk and it made them a better person or a smarter person? They did things more correctly because they were drunk? No, it's always the opposite. Well, if you want to be a smarter and better person, you don't want to be drunk with wine. That's all excess. But rather be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And then what will happen? He will start opening your mouth to speak what? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. In other words, we speak to each other our faith in the form of song often, and giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes the chapter with a whole other subject. How can we have right marriages? By the Spirit of God. And that's the only way we can do it. And otherwise, it will not work. All right, so he opens our mouths by his Holy Spirit. One more I'll look at before we close. He opens our mouths by faith. You ever heard of a silent Christian? He's a Christian who just doesn't tell anybody. No one would know it, if, you know. But that's not really what God does. God does not make us silent Christians. There are times when we're to be quiet. And we need to understand when those are. We're going to look at that later when we talk about how God closes our mouths. But if we have faith, will that faith express itself? It certainly will. Romans 10. He's talking about the difference between a gospel of works, where people think that they can be saved by keeping God's law and that they're righteous by their own good deeds, and the true gospel of Christ that says that we're sinners and that God makes us righteous by faith in His Son, not by our own right works, but by the righteousness of Christ given to us freely by God's grace when we believe on Him. And so he's talking about the differences here. Verse 5, Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. If you want to get to heaven by your works, you have to keep the law. And if you can keep it perfectly, then you'll be good. Otherwise, it's hopeless. And none of us is without sin, so it is hopeless. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks. All right, what is the message of God's righteousness? The one that comes to us by faith in Jesus Christ. It speaks on this wise, or in this way. Say not in thine heart. Now here's how people think. Who shall ascend into heaven? And we got to somehow climb up into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? We got to dig down to hell. That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? What does this righteousness say? Not what you have to do, but what did God do? It says the Word. This righteousness comes by believing the Word, not by doing works. The Word is nigh thee, or near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. Notice, it's not hidden in our heart. It's in our mouth and in our heart. So he says, what is it the Word of faith that we preach? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. All right, the first thing that faith does is it makes us to be confessors, those who profess and declare that our faith is in Jesus and that He's our Savior, and to tell what He's done for us and what we have in Him. We're saved by faith in Him. But it doesn't stay in the heart. Notice, you believe with your heart. And you shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You shall be saved. But then you need to confess this with your mouth. It doesn't stay or stop with the heart. But with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Notice, he doesn't work to get himself into a righteous condition. He believes in Christ, and that puts him in a righteous condition before God. And then, having received salvation as a gift, his mouth is filled with praise and testimony. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Well, don't a lot of people claim to know Christ? You don't? Yes, that's often the case. But it's not coming from faith in the heart. It's coming from delusion in the head. They think they have something they don't. and they're speaking a falsehood, which is something they don't really have, and yet they think they have, and so it's a false profession. And then, of course, it doesn't just stop with words. What's the Bible say? You know, if we only speak and never act, you know, faith without works is dead. And so the way we know that this profession is true is it produces a life of good works. Not a life of good works for righteousness, a life of good works from righteousness. I receive righteousness when I believe, and then I show forth that righteousness as I behave in obedience to God's word. Now, one more place in 2 Corinthians 3. Talked about, you know, it's hard to confess Christ, especially when people don't want to hear it and they get mad at you when you do. Well, how can we do it? Faith will compel us. Faith is not a silent grace. It's one that opens our mouths to speak for God. In chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, verse 12, it says, "Seeing then that we have such hope," you know, the hope of the gospel, hope in Christ, "we use great plainness of speech." Once we've come to have a sure hope of salvation and eternal life, then that leads to plainness or boldness of speech. Faith opens our mouths to speak our faith and to tell what God has done for us. And then over in chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "We having the same spirit of faith." If we have the same spirit of faith, what will it do? How will it show itself? Well, this is one way. "According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken." See, when our speaking is the fruit of our faith, then it is a true profession. If we're speaking just out of our own heads without faith, then it is a false profession. But when we do have this spirit of faith, and that could be the Holy Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is faith. He gives us this faith, and He's the one that enables us to declare our faith. "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written," and he quotes now the Psalms, he says, "I believed, and therefore have I spoken." If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we are righteous before God, and we are able to give a testimony to what He's done for our souls, how He saved us by His grace. "We also believe, and therefore speak." What do we believe? What's our hope? "Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." Isn't that the same thing that Romans 10 said? You confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, you God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's what we believe. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's our hope, that we have eternal life in Him. And because we have that, having this hope, we use great plainness of speech. We believe, we speak. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them declare what He's done for their soul. And if He hasn't done anything for you, how can you tell what He's done? A lot of people can't witness and profess their faith because they haven't. And so you can't really say anything when you haven't experienced it yet. And you have nothing to share because it's not there to begin with. But if we have God's Spirit and the faith that He produces in us, it will open our mouths for God to tell the gospel to others and to praise Him for what He's done for us. Let's close in prayer.